in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that at the beginning in the creation, that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our image. And it says in 1:27 there, it says it this way, in Genesis 1:27, it says that they said, let us make man in our image. And so the plurality of the God the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit that we studied about last week is there. And so it says, then God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so there are qualities of God that he made in his, things that are his image that can best be seen in women. And there's qualities of an image that can best be seen in men. And God made us with different roles and gifts and skills that are all in the image of God and who he is. And so we want to look at the personal God today and be able to see him. And we want to do that by reading and studying this Psalm 23 and just seeing that today. Because it starts, as many of you know, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. When we see that, first of all, David says the first thing, and if you have a pencil or what like underline in your Bible, I would do so. In that psalm, I would underline or circle the word my. The first thing that's amazing is that David says about God, the Lord. Now, do you have the catchy little thing? Look at your Bible. The catchy little thing they use to help us with English where your word there says, the Lord is my shepherd. Or like some translations will say, Jehovah is my shepherd. They do that because they say, the Lord is my shepherd. And look there, any of you have it where it's a capital L and then lower case, smaller, capital O-R-D. That's what our English translators use to be able to help us to know that the word for Lord there, that's all capitals, some lowercase, some large. The only place they do that in the Bible is that Lord is the word Yahweh, the word Jehovah. The one when the high priest, they got to the place to respect the Old Testament command of do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, in an effort to protect that and to be careful about that and not to use God's name in vain, that it came to the place that the Hebrew people, the only person that could say the actual name Yahweh was the high priest once a year, and he took an extra special cleansing bath before he did and afterward to not defame the name of Jehovah. But what did David do? He said, Jehovah is my shepherd. You know, that's a pretty bold statement and a thing to say. This God, as David wrote in Psalm 8, is, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all earth. What is man that you could even think of us? And David says, Jehovah, who's nobody's even allowed to say his name, because fear of saying it wrong and not using his name properly, the atmosphere they had about Jehovah, the fear and reverence they had for God, he says, this same God we have that much fear and reverence about, he's my shepherd. See what David does for us? He says, even though God is this God that is so large and massive that last week we talked about how you could even like teach on him because it's so hard, there's so much of God, he's my shepherd. What a beautiful thing and just a pronoun in our Bible, isn't it? And so he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. There's some qualities that come from God that we can see that the first of all, we see that God provides. The first quality that we can see about God and who he is in the psalm is that God does provide. It says, I shall not want. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says something that is actually a pretty amazing statement. He says this in chapter 1 in verse 3. He says, seeing that in God's divine power, he granted us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Peter says, similar to what David is saying, David says, I don't have any wants. He basically says that God is enough, that he himself is all we really need. It's not that we don't get thirsty. It's not that we don't need clothes. It's not that we don't need food to eat and shelter and things that we need to get around and do different things. But it's not that at all. But he says that what you have and what you do not have, the shepherd is more than what you need. He's enough. Just Jesus, the shepherd, is enough for us. And he is all that we really need when it comes down to it. And he's given us all that we need. You know, we often think, and I'm definitely one that can fall into this and get one of it, that a change of circumstances is what I need. But we often get into a place where when this day, David just said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. And I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, what he's saying is I don't even need a change of circumstances for changing my situation. A change in circumstances doesn't always make a change in my situation. Because usually what I think, well, if this would change and this would change and this would change, then I'd be happy. I'd be okay. I'd be not in want. But what David said is, even my circumstances still stink. He was around sheep. You know, stink is a word he can use, all right? Even when my circumstances still haven't changed, my situation can, because I can decide that shepherd is enough. We can close and go home if we decide on that. We'd be done right there. That's a huge amount to say, isn't it? That the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, doesn't mean that David didn't need anything. Doesn't mean that he never thought, wow, we could conquer another city. We could battle this army. But the Lord is enough. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he comes into this and he says that he also nourishes us, we could say. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me. You know, I studied that word because I thought surely it didn't mean makes me. You know, surely I thought it meant that, you know, he allows it, he lets me. But no, it's the word for forces to. Okay? He makes me lie down. Anybody ever meet any moms like that? They make you lie down. You know, that's what they do with children. You know, you're not going to get well unless you do this. You get better. They make you do things. And that's what God, there's times that he does that. He makes us to. Have you ever gotten sick so much that you just realize, okay, God, I will stop. You've ever had just your schedule come to such a place where you just go, okay, God, I need to turn to you. That's what this says here for us, that he makes us to lie down in green pastures. And this is part of his nourishing us. He wants us to slow down, to stop in the rich green grass of Scripture and relationship with him. He makes us to lie down in those green pastures. And then it says, he leads me beside quiet waters. You know, sheep, I don't know a lot about sheep. Who here has? Because we're going to mention some things, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I've observed some sheep, and raised sheep, had sheep, done sheep. Who has? A little bit? Done some? Okay. I understand that from my observation, I was running a sheep herding group of people in Australia for a while, and we would cross paths of them a lot. Okay.
Were they sheep, like in the desert, sheep, like you raised, like in the southern part?
It was, the year I was there, Australia was a desert.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, there was fires everywhere. Sheep are tough in Australia, but they're just as dumb as they are in Israel. You know, there's just the same thing. You've seen sheep run, right? Their legs don't bend right. They just look dumb running, no matter what they do, okay? But here's what sheep won't, that I've observed and what I've read, will not drink out of running water. They will not drink out of maybe a little bit of flow, but running, massive, bubbling water. They need still water, and so they won't drink out of that. So here's what this passage says, is that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, or water that rests, is what it literally says. Now, there's a thing, though, that he needs to lead beside quiet waters. Because sheep will look for quiet water. They'll look for still water that isn't bubbling and rushing. And sometimes still water is stagnant water. Okay? And isn't that like us? Don't we need God to guide us sometimes? Because we're looking for that looks like it's supposed to, but sometimes we drink out of infected water. We drink out of the things that aren't quite what they should be. Because we're looking for that. And so that's where the Lord nourishes us. He leads us to quiet waters. We go on in that passage a little bit, and it says that he restores, part of this nourishing, he restores my soul. The word restore just means to bring back to a previous state. You restore a car, you restore furniture, you restore things back to a previous state. He restores my soul. He's the one that nourishing us will bring us back to where we were before. And so what we see first is that God provides for us, but he also then nourishes us. And he's a personal God because he cares about our daily life. He's involved in it and he cares about it. But also this passage goes on and tells us, though, that starting in verse 4, even though I walk, he guides me in the paths of righteousness. I was jumping ahead on us. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He wants us to be on paths that are the right paths. Sheep are like other animals and a lot like people in that if there's, just because a path is worn, it doesn't mean it's the right path. Just because a path is worn doesn't mean it's the right path. You ever been to a state park? Been to a state park with any kind of a high embankment ridge and you look down over something? You've seen those? Okay. Have you ever been to a state park where you're on a high ridge and you're a big wall around it and there'll be a sign that says to do not go off the main path right there? And when you've been to the state parks and have a sign that says do not go off the main path, what is right next to that sign? Yeah, there is every time, isn't there? There's a path. It'll be like there's this big wall around this area. There's a big drop-off. And there'll be a sign on each side, please stay on the paved path, please stay on the paved path. And right next to that sign, there'll be this little trail that goes down the hill. It's true, isn't it? That's exactly what we are. Just because a path is worn, it doesn't mean it's the right path. Just because a path is well used doesn't mean it's the best path. And so he guides us and wants to lead us and guide us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But you know, the other thing is, even when a path is clear, sheep don't stay on it. They still wander. They just go where they want to go. And that's how we are. And though the Lord cares about our daily life so much that he wants to guide us in paths of righteousness because he cares for us. Well, now we can go to that verse 4 and read on, because it reads on here that not only does he provide and not only does he nourish, but he protects us. Let's look at the next little section here. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Here's one thing that's fun in this passage that you notice. If you notice the first three verses, it says the Lord is my he, and he guides. Then it changes. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Isn't the valley of the shadow of death when we run to him and say, you? You know, we talk about God a lot. We talk about what he's doing in life. But there's those moments in the valley of the shadow of death, or valley of the shadow of other things, that we run to him. And that's when we just press in a little closer and we say, you are with me. And then we have more personal pronouns going on. The you and your keeps going in these next few verses, because there's just a change that David wrote in the way he was writing, talking about what God was doing. But then he just was more like crying out to God because he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. A couple words that are important if you're circling or underlining that I would do. The first one is through. When I walk through, the word through has already got hope in it. It doesn't mean I walk into and stay. I walk through this valley, the shadow of death. It isn't permanent. It isn't always. I'm walking through this valley. So just even in that, there's already hope that he says, this, the valleys of shadows are what we walk through. But then he says, I will fear no evil because you are with me. You know, something that's true about these passages, when we speak to that, when he starts to speak to God, is that shadows is more ominous than the object. The shadow is sometimes more ominous than the actual object. And that's what we do to ourselves. Now, let's think about that. TV shows are good. Cartoons are great. Where, you know, there'll be someone walking in around a corner and all of a sudden they'll see a shadow on the wall. And, you know, cartoons and children's programs are the best about it, because then everybody freezes because something's coming. It's a giant bear because they see the shadow on the wall. And then it's so much fun because the little puppy comes right around the corner, you know, and the light behind it has this little poodle coming around the corner, you know, and it's this bear on the wall because the shadow is more ominous than the object. Isn't that what happens to us? When we walk through a valley and we're going through something hard and we're going through something difficult and we're in the hardest moments of our life, it's the shadow we often see. It's the shadow of the object that we see, and it just looks so big and scary. And there's fangs coming out of it, you know? I mean, we see it on the wall and we just freeze. And then we just turn to God and we just cry out to Him and say, "You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And around the corner comes a little poodle. You know? That's what God says He'll do for us. That's what He wants to be for us. And you know something else that's true about a shadow? There's always light behind the object. So that means there's light at the end of the tunnel. That means there's light behind whatever is this fear that we could have had. And David just says, God cares about our every day. He cares about every need. He's involved in it. And when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. And that's just the shadow of death. It isn't death. It might feel like death. It might feel like you're gonna die. But it's just the shadow of it. I fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we read on in that passage, and that's what he says to us. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I like to read this in this way, that you are with me in my most difficult moment. David, when he wrote it, he says, you prepare a table before my enemies. You know, that was where he was at this stage in his life. The worst thing for him at that time was he had enemies who were trying to kill him. He had Saul, the king, trying to come after him. He had armies that were betraying him and organizing to try to hurt him. The Lord prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. Now, the word table there is one of the root words similar to, it's not the same root word, but it's similar to the same idea as a mesa. You know what a mesa is? A mesa is that big flat land. A mesa is a flat area like that. So this actually is a pasture term. We're in a shepherd's psalm. There's a pasturing term here. When we click the table, you know, we click the table at our house. We table before me in the presence of my enemies. But the word table also has a flat, smooth, prepared area of green grass idea in it. Because there's a shepherd's psalm that's going on. But it can be applied the same way, is that God provides the best for us, prepares a table for us, because it's the table for the sheep, so it's food. We can picture it that way. In the presence of my worst situation, God's still going to feed and nourish and protect and care for me, no matter who's against me, no matter what the situations are, He's with me. And then we read on, and it's just beautiful, because then He says, for you've anointed my head with oil. He says He can bring healing. Shepherds did use oil. As you read about the psalm in those days and David's time and things, they did use oil for multiple things with the injuries and things that is probably referring to this anointing with oil that would happen with the sheep. And so for us, he wants to bring healing to the things that we're experiencing. He wants to bring those things to us. You know, moms, they bring healing just by being there. You ever had your kids, or you ever as a child remember how, you know, a child, one of the siblings gets hurt and another sibling tries to comfort them? Okay, we have some little bit of age gap with some of our kids, and though I love Austin and Aaron, my boys, but you know what? They couldn't hold and comfort an injured girl for nothing. Olivia, Elizabeth would get hurt. You know, they could have held them just similar. They could have patted them on the back just the same. They could have even said, it's going to be okay. Cause that's all mom says. You know, it's just, that's all she says. Nothing mad. But it didn't matter. They'd rip themselves out of those boys' arms and they're running them up. Mom brings healing. And that's the quality that God can do too. He just says that just comes to me for healing in that way. And then, you ever been to church camp? Yeah. Third, fourth, fifth grade, second, third, fourth, that's are there for a few days. You go to a little camp of some kind. It'll be the most amazing thing. There'll be a child out doing whatever it is, and playing or whatever. And you know, a basketball will land on their finger on the basketball court. We all, you know, third grader walking in. They get going. They got to go see the nurse. You know, and they do. I mean, the nurse's position. They need, usually with 50 kids, they usually need a staff of 15. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. And they're coming in with, oh, what happened? The basketball hit my finger. You know, and she touches it, loves on it. Like they're back in a minute. You know, they can come to me and be like, oh, it's gonna be okay. No, I gotta see the nurse. You know, it doesn't matter. I can put ice on it. No, the nurse is this nice lady in there that seems like a mom. Okay, and is a mom usually. What a difference, you know? And she just sends them back out, you know. It was a bee. What did it do? It flew past me. You know, I mean, they're in the nurse's station. And they run to the lady that's mom-like. She heals them from the bee flying near them, you know. And so they just need that healing that comes. And that's what God can do for us. And we can run to him the same way and go to him just like that. So wrapping up as David did, it comes down to that he provides, he nourishes, he protects, but that's not all. That'd be enough, wouldn't it? But then David said some more things. He said, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. You ever spend a little bit too long at a restaurant? You know, you've been there a little bit too long when the people that you're tipping don't come back anymore. Okay? It's because the sign of an empty cup is you've been here long enough. Okay? They don't come and refill your cup anymore. Okay? It's, you know, you can't find them, you know? It's like, oh, they may have clocked out. No, they're just hiding in the back because they don't want to fill your cup anymore. You've been here long enough. But this says my cup overflows. This means, Noah and I are buddies. You know that, right? My cup overflows. It means there's never a time that with God that he says, you've been here long enough. There's never a time that God says to you, it's time for you to like move on. I've filled your cup enough. No, he comes to the table every time and fills it up and it spills over a little bit. And he comes back and you need more, and you drink more, and you say, God, I'm through this horrible situation, I'm so thirsty. And he says, it's okay, I'll just fill it up. I just drink it all, and he'll fill it up. You will never come to a place where God says, you've been here long enough. And you know, by the way, we don't even tip him 18% sometimes. And he still says, your cup overflows. I will keep it full. I will give you more. You will never have an empty cup. When you come to me, God says, your cup will overflow. It says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and loving kindness follow me is words of not follow, but of pursue. And so that's the last thing we can say about this passage, is God pursues. God doesn't just want you, he doesn't just care for you a little bit, he doesn't just fill you up a little bit. He pursues you. He wants that relationship with you. He chases you down sometimes and says, don't run away, I want to fill your cup more. Don't run away, I want to nourish. Don't run away, I want to care for you. But we run, and we don't stay close sometimes. This name may mean absolutely nothing to you, but his story is fun. His guy's name is John Schlitt. John Schlitt was a musician who was in a little band years ago. Somebody in the last like 3 months mentioned his name. May have been in a little band called Head East. Yep. One hit wonder, and the drummer sang the only song that was good. The lead singer didn't, okay? You know, the only song that made the radio, the drummer sang it, wasn't even John Schlitt. But John Schlitt was the lead singer of Head East, okay?
They were actually a good band.
Yeah, that song was great. And they were a good band. But John, going down for the last time, whatever the song is, it's a weird song, okay? I was in like eighth grade when it came out, folks, so I know that some of you would not be able to find it because it was on vinyl. So, and don't even know what vinyl is. But But John Schlitt says this. He said that there was something that never stopped chasing him. He told later in his testimony there was something that never stopped chasing him. You know what it was? His mom's prayers. It was his mom's prayers. He said that no matter where he went, no matter what he did, he says his mom was praying for him. And he said sometimes he felt like he could look by and see the prayers running after him no matter what he was doing. She was there. Okay? Maybe you know who he is if I tell you this. Now, we're still old, ancient music history. But he became the lead singer of a band called Petra. Christian music group. Amazing testimony and impact for a decade or so. And, you know, it changed. The music groups changed. It's so fun to see how music groups change. One year, Petra was in town in Indianapolis and played in Market Square Arena where the Pacers played. Filled it. 2 years later, there was this 175 auditorium that was about half full. Okay, you know, so music goes, boom, you know, it does like that. But John says his prayers of his mom chased him. And that's what this says. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we just have a question to maybe end. We've said and we've heard it, is God good? And the answer is yes. The answer to is God good? Is God good? Is yes, because he provides, he protects, he nourishes, he overflows. But the thing about God's goodness, even in the midst of that, is sometimes we're like sheep and we stray. In Isaiah chapter 53, it tells us about that, and it just says this: all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to slaughter, like a sheep that was silent before his shears, he did not open his mouth. The Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Jesus himself was a substitute provision so that God is good and we are able to be saved because of his goodness and his love for us. And then after that event, he's a personal God. He's involved in and he cares about our life. And so maybe when you think about moms and what moms can be and could be, and most of them are, is there's this passion they have and this desire they have to be involved in and care about our daily life. What a picture for us to be reminded of who God is that God is involved in and cares about our daily life. And he's my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? And I don't mean did he come to the place that he saved you only, but have you come to the place that you trust him to lead you beside quiet waters, to make you to lay down in green pastures, to restore your soul, to allow his rod and his staff to comfort you? And so just to do that, declare it today a little bit. Once you read on the screen, we're going to say it. Let's just read that psalm. We've had it hit us a couple times already today. Let's read it together. And we're just going to read this psalm and just make it even a declaration that God is my shepherd. So let's just read it together. It's coming around the corner right behind these flowers. Anytime. There it is. So let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We say this in the name of Jesus. Amen.